Like to bring on our co-chairs of resolutions, who I know both of them, Jeff Tom and Sarah Harris.
Morning.
Good morning. Happy Sunday, folks.
Well, you'll be glad to know, probably, that we don't have as many resolutions as last year. Now, some people might say that's too bad, but most people will probably say that's just as well. But we have some really meaty ones. We have six substantive resolutions and our two resolutions of thanks. So I guess we'll begin. And I want to thank you to our committee. And Sarah, you will remind me if I skipped anyone. Linda Perrell, Robert Wendt, Steve Mendelson, Steve Bauer. Who did I miss?
Gene.
Well, no, I was gonna see. We didn't need to thank ourselves, I guess. I missed you intentionally.
Did you say Gene Lozano?
Oh, I missed Gene. That's right.
Yes, Gene,
How did I
okay.
do that? Oh
Yeah,
my
you can't miss
gosh.
Gene.
Yeah, thank
Gene,
you.
not me.
Yeah, no, I
Gene,
know.
no,
Yeah.
no.
So, okay. And I want to thank Steve to help who helped us get these things recorded, Steve Bauer. So, are we ready, Sarah, to do the first one?
I think we're super ready.
I just want to say before I play this that Jeff, thank you so much for being an easy edit.
Oh, yeah. Resolution 2022-1 is Amazon Disability Customer Support Line by Margie Donovan. Whereas millions of shoppers, including those who are blind or have low vision, purchase products online from Amazon, and whereas, much to Amazon's credit, they have established a disability customer support line, 888-283-1678, for people with disabilities to get assistance with, among other things, browsing their product line and obtaining detailed visual product descriptions. Whereas many Amazon Disability Support Line representatives do not provide adequate product descriptions, resulting in unwanted items being purchased and the inconvenience of making returns. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind in convention assembled remotely on this 15th day of May 2022, that this organization urges Amazon to commence a dialogue with the American Council of the Blind to determine the best solutions to ensure that Amazon's disability customer support line will be staffed with personnel who can effectively provide accurate product descriptions for people who are blind or have low vision. And be it further resolved that a copy of this resolution be sent to the American Council of the Blind's Resolutions Committee for action at its 2022 convention. So the committee recommends a do pass, and we don't need a second, so we so move.
All right. Are there any questions or comments on this resolution?
Yes, give me a. We have a couple of raised hands, and give me just a second. Margie is one.
Oh, she is the maker. She is the
Okay. Yeah, she
maker,
has her
so
hand
let's
up.
her have her first.
I
Sorry, I didn't mention that.
I'd like to just comment really quickly. This is Andrea, that having made fairly extensive use of that support line, I have had very good experiences by and large with their description and customer service. So I just want to say that. Hold on just a second. Okay, Margie, you should be unmuted. I can come back to her if you'd like.
Yeah, this.
Yeah, do we have another hand? I
Yeah, we
definitely
do.
want her
Who
to
else we
talk.
have there? And
Okay, we
Margie,
have.
if you get unmuted, go ahead and
He's showing as
talk at us.
unmuted, so I don't know.
Yeah, and if you,
Roger
well, I should
is.
say if you figure out what's going on there, then go ahead and talk to us, Margie.
Okay, Roger, go for it.
Hi there.
Good
Morning,
morning, Roger.
everybody. I just felt that I needed to say on behalf of Bernice that she always said, as long as the people were from Kentucky or West Virginia, they were really good. For whatever that's worth. And the other thing I wanted to just mention is that Sometime shortly after Bernice's death, I talked to one of the, someone called me from Amazon about something, one of the disability people. And I told him about her death, and he cried. So, just for whatever that's worth, thank you.
Thanks for sharing that, Roger.
Okay. Before we go, Kevin Berkery.
Yeah. Good morning. We only heard a portion of the whole thing. Maybe it's at our end. I don't know. But like all of a sudden, Jeff would go silent for a few seconds at a time. Oh. Couldn't hear a thing.
You know what? We forgot to. Here. No, you know what? I bet it is. If you're listening on an app.
Which I am.
Probably the same thing on a computer. Make sure to leave the Zoom screen in focus. If you leave the Zoom screen, you're not going to hear the stuff. We're playing these recordings by Guillermo's doing a screen share and playing them. So if you leave the Zoom app, you will not hear the stuff that is done over screen share, the recordings that are played.
Gabe,
Jeff, you learn something every day.
Gabe, would you like me to just read the resolves again?
Or I can play the whole resolution.
Well, yeah, you could.
It was a short resolution.
So. Yeah, okay.
But yeah, I totally even forgot about that. We probably should have mentioned that throughout that the thing. But
yeah.
Because I minimized it.
Yeah, no, we learned that, I think.
Yeah, that's a good tip.
A while back, so... I think Guillermo and I ran into it on something.
How about if I read the resolve clauses? Yeah. I think that ought to explain. Basically, the important part of the whereas clauses was that it was asserted that in many instances, the customer support line personnel do not provide adequate detailed product descriptions, and that this can result in unwanted purchases and the need for exchanges. So the resolves are as following. I'll skip the boilerplate. Resolve that this organization urges Amazon to commence a dialogue with the American Council of the Blind to determine the best solutions to ensure that Amazon's disability customer support line will be staffed with personnel who can effectively provide accurate product descriptions for people who are blind, or have low vision. And be it further resolved that a copy of this resolution be sent to the American Council of the Blind's Resolutions Committee for action at its 2022 convention. Margie?
Yeah, hi, thank you. Sorry, I don't know what's going on with muting and unmuting. At any rate, Jeff had asked me after the committee met to kind of seek some input, and I put a post out on the ACB Facebook page, and someone else put it on the leadership list. I got a good amount of feedback, and I would say it was very mixed in terms of people who have wonderful, outstanding experiences and people who have had some of the same challenges as myself. So I say this because many of us have had very good experiences. And I think it just depends kind of who you get and what time of day you're calling and who's answering those phones. So I just want to say I continue to support this resolution and moving forward because of the feedback I got, and it isn't just my experience. So thank you, and I will now mute with the intention of hopefully being able to unmute again in the future.
All right. Thanks, Margie. Andrea, do we have any other hands?
We do.
Just out of curiosity, how many?
Just one. Bob Acosta.
Just one. Okay. Go ahead, Bob.
Okay, Bob.
Okay, I assume you can hear me. I don't need a microphone.
You can, yeah.
Okay, a great resolution. But I wonder if the committee, and certainly the author here, should consider in the dialogue somewhere that they should be knowledgeable about screen readers. Because it's not just, are you assuming that everyone who calls the disability line is an expert in technology? I mean, MLB did, anyway, had a person who knew JAWS. You know, you get to him, you might have to wait a little to get to that blind guy who knew it. But they told you how to find the games. So I'm asking the committee, if you don't, it's okay. But I'd put it in the resolve, the dialogue area, to include knowledge of screen readers. I don't say everyone, but certain ones should. Thank you.
The only response I would have to that is that most of the products that people are ordering from Amazon don't really have any relationship to the use of a screen reader. So I don't know. But having said that, Bob, you know, if ACB is fortunate enough to commence this dialogue, if that seems to be an issue, that's certainly one of the issues that they could, you know, discuss.
Well, I'll show my ignorance. I don't know how to do it. That's why I have a reader and I do it. But I'd love to order things. You know, I do it on Lexi. I get it.
Yeah, but it isn't a question of being able to, like, Margie can order the products through her screen reader.
But you're assuming that everyone has the knowledge that to order. To go up there. If you
okay. I see where you're going. I see where you're coming.
And I do not know how to do it.
Yeah,
I'd
no.
Say, where do I go find this? I want to get a radio because I love radios. I
yeah,
have 100 of them.
Yeah, no, I see where you're going with this. And thank certainly you.
Think about
Gay,
it. I don't want to mess up the resolution.
Yeah, Gay, we can
resolution.
Keep that in mind for.
Well, I was going to say, I think Jeff and I might be able to have a little bit of influence once this goes to ACB, because those resolves are going to change, obviously, for the ACB version of the resolution. So we can probably see about working something along those lines in there. You think, Jeff?
Sure. Bob, I didn't get your point.
Yeah, and I totally understand what he's saying. And I think, though, that just to remind folks that the intent was about the particular people that are, you know, helping to describe, helping to order. So it's more about the folks that are answering the phone versus the actual site or app.
This is Steve.
Go ahead, Steve.
Okay. Actually, Amazon says up front that they, you know, in fact, they, one of the things they will not do is put a product in your cart. So if you, you know, just like a sighted person that wouldn't have the computer skills, if you as a blind person don't have the computer skills, that's not what they're there to help you for. What they're there to help you for is if you have, you know, three shirts on your screen and, gee, do I want this one or this one or this one? Because I can't tell as a blind person, this one's blue, this one's green, you know, whatever. That's the kind of thing they're there to work on with you. But even when they're working with you, you have to be able to put the item in your cart. They will not do that for you. So I don't know how much value it would have to have those folks be aware of JAWS, because that's not what they're there to do. They're there to do offer descriptions to, you know, visual descriptions to folks who aren't able to see the products.
Anyone else?
Okay, Sheila, go ahead.
Thank you. I was just going to widen it from just screen readers and say assistive technology or access technology, because what I often get, not just from Amazon, but everywhere, is what's on the lower part of your screen. It's blue, it's white, it's green, it's red. It's like, click this, tap that. I'm like, and by the way, they will put it in your cart, but they won't make the order. So you, at least they do put it in your cart, but you then can look at it with your app. And mine is mostly screen reader accessible, and I can figure out what's in there and delete them or change them if I need to. So, but yeah, I think assistive access technology is good add.
Okay, Regina, you should be unmuted.
I am. So I did go and read their terms of service, and I'm not a lawyer, but I would ask someone to review it, because I believe it says that they're not responsible for if a product causes an issue. You know, it's like an indemnification clause. it's in there. I'm not sure if it applies to accessibility issues, but basically what I got from reading it is they're not responsible for what you buy, even if they help you. If I'm reading that wrong, someone can
This doesn't indicate anything about their responsibility for what you buy. It just says that there's a causal relationship between an inaccurate detailed description and the product that you purchase. So I don't see that as a problem, Regina. Sarah, do you concur with that?
Yes, yes, I do. Sorry, it took me a minute to hit my button there.
Okay, next we have Patty. You should be unmuted.
Okay, this resolution, it refers to detailed descriptions of the items, but I had an issue with, I wanted to send the material to a different address, and I was afraid that maybe they weren't allowed to do this, and the gentleman said he could and would, and he didn't. And then I thought, well, maybe it's because I'm a Prime member and it has to be sent to my address because of the shipping regulations or something. But I because of it, I missed getting to send my little grandson a present when he had COVID. He's over COVID now, so I can bring it to him. But so does anybody know if addresses they have the authorization to do that, or was that an error? That
they do. I'm a Prime member. I do it all the time.
Yeah, I've had addresses added. They've added addresses for me, and I figured out how to do it myself, but they added them.
I couldn't do it. I kept trying and it would keep giving my home address. So anyway, would you want to add that? Just not, no, maybe not.
This is Gabe. I would say that's probably not something we could add in here, because they do say that they can put stuff in their cart, but they cannot they can't complete the order for you.
Yeah.
So, they might have been able to even add an address onto your account, a shipping address on there. Okay. But when you're shipping, you would still have to select where you're sending it. So I
when you add it to the cart.
And that adds to, I think, going back to Bob's comment of having them have some knowledge of assistive technology, in the sense of being able to tell you, okay, so it's in your cart, but you're going to have to blah, blah, blah at checkout. Like, you're going to have to change the address. I don't know. We're kind of in a pickle here. Lots of good information. And this is why, guys, we would love to have you come to our meetings when we're dropping these things.
And this is something, again, that we're going to be working with ACB. I'm the chair for the ACB Resolutions Committee. Jeff is on that committee. This is stuff, maybe at this point I would say, these are great ideas, and Jeff and I are making note of it. And I'd say let's take this to the ACB Resolutions Committee to talk about what can be done at the ACB level. But they are good thoughts. But I think at this point I'd say we're probably going to be better served putting them into the, working towards them in the ACB version of the resolution.
And I do have a contact in Amazon, and I may just sort of run this thought by them just to see what their initial take would be. Mm-hmm. They don't work in this area, but
well, and the whole thing
we'll look into this.
And the big thing is just, ACB opening up a dialogue to see what can be, the first step is make sure that the people working on the phone line, are trained to give full and accurate descriptions. And then we can hopefully be able to move into some of these other types of issues.
And to ensure that possibly they know what colors, right?
and I'd like to be added to the queue, yeah. Gabe.
I know, yeah, Rob is in the queue, we know. Rob.
Okay.
We do, Margie still has her hand up, and I believe, Margie, you are unmuted. So
I think I am this time.
You did
you
it.
You am.
Good job. Do you want to take Rob before Margie to hear what
you have to say? That's fine. I'll be quiet. Take Rob.
Isn't it beautiful when technology actually works for you, Margie?
Yeah, it is.
No, I just wanted to say, I mean, I think these are great ideas, but I do think they sort of weaken the resolution in a sense that I would like, if we want a different resolution about knowledge of screen readers and access technology, I think that's a separate, I'd like to see that as a separate one. I think if we just make this specific to product descriptions, it's going to be a stronger resolution. That's it. Thanks.
Rob?
Margie, go for it.
I just want to say, I'm a frequent shopper, and while I think Bob's point is well taken, this is not the mission of that line. The mission of that line as it currently stands, I'm not suggesting we don't submit a resolution in the future to expand that mission, but the mission is to help people with disabilities find the products they want, because their website doesn't have very good descriptions, if any at all. And yes, they can put it in the cart for you. They cannot purchase it. They cannot change addresses. You do that all at the time of purchasing. And I happen to use Aira to make those purchases for me for a variety of reasons that I won't get into. I also want to say, this resolution may not go in the direction we hope when it goes to ACB. One of the resolutions that's moving forward to ACB, and hopefully, Gabe, you got it, it was an Apple resolution, but we're moving it in a very different direction. And we are going to set up, or if this resolution passes, there's going to be a way for ACB members to regularly provide input via a forum. For companies such as Amazon, Apple, Microsoft, and then because ACB staff has inside contacts and valuable contacts with most of these companies, we don't feel that it's appropriate to just kind of slam these companies and ruin our inside contacts. So we're going to be coming up with the internal process. That might be the time to add the fact that people might need screen reader help. But again, that is not part of what this line is for. It's just purely to help a shop. They can stick it in a cart, and then however we need to purchase it, if you know how to purchase things out of your cart, or you know, get Aira, or you get a friend, however you need to do it, she can purchase something that you regularly purchase on Alexa. And I hope that explains things. I think these are good ideas, but I don't think that they fit in this resolution. And I, too, would like to invite people to the Resolutions Committee, even though I'm not on it, because that would be the best time to bring up these additional thoughts and ideas to see if we want to work them in. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Margie. I think we're ready to call the question, are we not, Mr. President?
Linda has her hand up.
Okay, go ahead, Linda.
I'm going to support that, Jeff. I am deeply impressed by the length and granularity of this discussion, because it clearly shows what an important role Amazon plays in all of our lives. But I do think it's time to call the question.
Okay, so we have a couple of people having called the question. Only if you object to the motion to adopt this resolution, raise your hand. Otherwise, keep your hands down.
Yep. Okay, we have a couple hands. We have four.
Okay, there's four hands up.
So the resolution is adopted.
Way to go.
Let's go on to number two. Unless you want a door prize yet, I don't know.
No, let's do a door prize maybe after two or three.
Okay, so the next one is on the expanded core curriculum. So Guillermo or Steve, whoever's
sure. If anybody is using an app, I'm going to give you some time to switch to that app. Otherwise, you will not be able to hear this resolution.
We learn as we go, right?
Yes. Yes.
And Andrea, all of us are learning as we still, exactly. Even on day whatever this is, we're learning. Still figuring out the process as well. Okay. It's all a work in process. All right.
So assuming everybody has Zoom in focus, here we go.
Expanded Core Curriculum by Jeff Tom. Whereas the Expanded Core Curriculum, ECC, is a group of services recognized nationwide without which students with vision impairments are unlikely to successfully lead independent and productive lives. And whereas ECC services include certain services required to be provided by law, such as instruction in Braille, orientation and mobility, and the use of technology, and whereas the ECC also includes a number of services not required to be provided by school districts, including daily living skills such as cooking, cleaning, dressing, and hygiene, social skills, career development, and several others. And whereas data indicates that these skills are, for the most part, learned by sighted students through observation of their families and peers. But in the case of students who are blind or who have low vision, these skills are most often learned in a classroom setting, through instruction by a teacher of the blind and visually impaired, or an orientation and mobility instructor. And whereas in 2019, pursuant to Assembly Bill 947, sponsored by the California Council of the Blind, CCB, in coalition with the special education field, the ECC was inserted into state law, and school districts were permitted, but not required, to provide students with vision impairments those services not already required by law. And whereas CCB, in coalition with teachers of the blind and visually impaired, and orientation and mobility instructors, is considering introducing a bill in 2023 that would require assessment for and provision of the services in the ECC not currently mandated by law. And whereas most school districts are not providing these discretionary services, and whereas it is essential that these services be provided to K through 12 students who are blind or who have low vision, now therefore be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind in convention assembled remotely this 15th day of May 2022, that this organization work to introduce and adopt legislation that would mandate assessment for and provision of expanded core curriculum services not currently mandated to be provided by law. Okay, so the committee recommends a do pass, and Mr. Chair is the maker. Can I speak first briefly?
Yes, go ahead, Jeff.
So I think this is a pretty self-explanatory resolution. These are very important services, as the resolution indicates, for our, you know, students who are blind or have low vision, and we don't want to leave it up to the whims and fancies of school districts as to whether our kids are going to receive them or not. So that's what the resolution asks for, and I would hope that people will support it.
All right. Well, thank you. And I guess at this time, are there any other comments? Does anybody else have a hand up to make any comments?
We have three.
Okay. Let's take those three.
I'm going to start with Anthony. Anthony, you need to unmute. I have sent you the request. There you go.
Okay, because I was told not to lower my hand. I didn't lower my hand. So, you know, I didn't want to make another confusing thing.
Sorry.
And one more comment on this. That is, you cannot give 10 seconds for objections. That was all that was given, about 10 seconds. And I don't believe that that's fair enough for people to object. You need to give at least a half minute to 45 seconds, because it takes a while for people to do what they need to do. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thanks, Anthony.
Anthony, your hand had actually gone down and then went back up again. So
We'd actually try to give about 30 seconds to Anthony, so we'll make sure that we give that.
Okay, next we have Deborah Armstrong, and you should be unmuted, Deborah.
I am, and I would like to speak about this for a minute. I haven't spoken a lot in the convention, so give me a second to marshal my thoughts. I work for a college, and I have to tell you how unprepared so many of our blind and visually impaired high school students are when they come in. We have a 112-acre campus, and I have arthritis. I can limp across campus to my various commitments. Many of my blind students are terrified to leave the building. They have never ridden the bus. I had one student who only knew how to find one restroom, and when I offered to show her another restroom, she was terrified to have me walk her down the hall to show her where it was. Many of them have very well-developed social skills, which is great, because when I was growing up, they were always talking about our lack of social skills. And I'm very, very impressed how easily they make friends and how they work really well academically. But their O&M skills, many of them cannot type. The only thing they've ever used is a Braille note. And I love the Braille devices, but they need to learn how to use screen readers and how to work with sighted folks. So I'm going to get off my soapbox. I could go on and on about this all day, but I need to get myself back on mute and not make to take forever. Thank you.
Thanks, Debbie.
Last three digits, 788, and you should be able to unmute.
This is Earl, and I think this is a great resolution. However, our state is awash in a huge amount of money. I mean, they've got a lot of bucks. It might be a good idea to put a request for funding in along with this, because that's going to be the big issue. I'm sure school districts would love to do this, but they're going to say, where's the money coming from? So the state should also provide money along with this mandate.
It's a good thing you mentioned that, Earl. Then there's a quick answer to that. When, under our state constitution, when the legislature mandates that a local agency, including a school district, do something, then the school district can automatically seek reimbursement for those costs. So in this particular type of case, what you suggest is not an issue. In fact, the issue runs the other way.
Okay, great.
The issue runs the other way, because frequently the legislature is not willing to pass this type of a bill because it would result in costs for the school district. So that is sometimes a problem. But thank you very much for that, cogent.
Okay, thank you. Remark.
Okay, Connie Bateman, you should be unmuted.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, this is Connie Bateman, a former teacher of the visually impaired, and I currently serve on the ACB Special Education Task Force. And this is precisely what we're trying to work on, is to get everyone involved in the involvement of educating blind and visually impaired students to be aware of the core curriculum and the types of services that are necessary to help these students live independent lives. And a lot of it is just a matter of educating the school districts and the parents and the teachers and the support staff in the needs of these students. So I support this resolution wholeheartedly. And by the way, we're doing a series of podcasts on these different services under core curriculum. Right now we're working on podcasts related to orientation and mobility services. We've just finished our first one recently, and it is available for people to listen to on the ACB website. So thank you for this resolution, and I'll mute now.
Oh, and thank you, Connie. Okay. Thank you for sharing about the podcast. That's so interesting. Very, very cool.
And maybe since I think the last couple of people have been in, kind of in favor. Is there anybody that would be opposed to this that would want to speak in opposition? We want to make sure to get those, if there is any.
We have no hands.
Okay. Well, seeing no hands, what do you guys say we call for the question?
Sounds like a plan.
All right. So at this time, all in, anyone opposed, sorry, if there's anyone opposed to this resolution, raise your hand, and only if you're opposed, and we'll give it a good 30 seconds or so. I've got 10:46:29, so we'll give it until, let's say, give it until I click over to 10:47, I guess it would be. I learned from my good friend Larry to look at the question.
We have no hands.
All right, another 5 or 8 seconds here. And all right, I showed 10:47 now, so we have given a good 30 seconds, no hands up. So this resolution is adopted. Thank you, guys.
Okay, so our next resolution, which I know Guillermo has pulled up, number 3 is a combination of resolutions submitted by Marjorie Donovan and the committee's own Steve Mendelson. This is Resolution 2022-3, Resolution on Resolutions by Marjorie Donovan and Steve Mendelson. Whereas the California Council of the Blind, CCB, adopts resolutions at its annual convention, and whereas CCB members often do not get a follow-up report as to the status of adopted resolutions, and whereas resolutions are not consistently accompanied by a cover letter, when the resolution is directed to an entity outside of CCB. Now therefore, be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind in convention assembled remotely on this 15th day of May 2022, that this organization directs the president or their designee to ensure that a cover letter accompany all resolutions when they are directed to an entity outside of CCB, with such cover letters and their associated resolutions to be archived for permanent storage. And be it further resolved that the CCB president or their designee provide a report to the membership on actions taken and results achieved pursuant to adopted resolutions. And be it further resolved that this report be provided either at the next annual convention or such earlier time as is appropriate, except that this resolution shall not result in the disclosure of any confidential or privileged communications, including communications relating to ongoing legal negotiations. And the committee recommends a due pass.
Okay. I'm hearing an echo. I don't know if anyone else
is. Yeah, so am I. I think it's gone now. Nope.
Yeah, just cut. Just kind of threw me off for a second. We'll work with it. So we have a motion and a second. And thank you to Steve Mendelson and Margie Donovan for this resolution. So at this time, I guess if either of them are here and want to speak to this resolution, they can raise their hands. And I guess if there's anyone else that wishes to speak towards us, go ahead and raise your hand now too. But if we see either Margie or I don't know if Steve is here. If he is, he might be by the phone. So if we see either of them with raised hands, we'll call them. But Andrea, do we have any hands up?
Okay, Bob, you should be able to talk. You should be unmuted.
Okay. First of all, it's real quick. I remember the time when I was president, and two members of the resolutions committee said, report on all resolutions, you never do, which we did. But anyway, when they did that, you know, a year ago or whatever the convention was, I finally was started saying implemented. I'm glad that they say confidentiality. Sometimes there's confidential work with the rehab director and the council. You know, we go back and forth. I thought resolutions were already archived. Number one, in my day, in the old schools, we did. We tried to keep them. Would the authors consider allowing the president to make a report in the blind Californian along the way? Report from headquarters. That's my question. If you're not, then okay. But I think it's great to have a record. I think it's great to respect confidentiality. But the president can, and every resolution that I wrote had a cover letter. Are you kidding? Absolutely. Why would they not? I don't understand that. But many times people don't answer them. So you say unimplemented and you got to write again and again. Thank you.
So
that helped a little bit.
Bob, this resolution would not preclude that report from being in the Blind Californian. Right. It isn't specific.
Okay, good. Because I think in front of Gabe did a little of it in his report this time. And I think for the whole convention to go over, you know, year-old resolutions, we want to see it along the way if we can. Thank you. That's just a suggestion. Okay. Thank you.
Speak up.
Thanks, Bob.
Yeah.
Speak.
Steve here.
Go ahead, Steve.
So I'm just here standby in case there's any questions.
And leave him unmuted for the entire rest of the time since many of the resolutions are Steve's.
I'm not doing anything. I just lowered his hand.
Yeah, I'll leave Steve there. Do we have any other hands up?
Yes, Margie.
All right. Yeah, let's get Margie because she's the other author.
I am unmuted.
There you are.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say, and Jeff actually already said it, which is the fact that this resolution does not dictate or direct the president or their designee of how and when and where to report it. It simply asks for reports.
Right. By the next annual convention or before when appropriate.
I wouldn't dare tell Gabe how to do it.
He wouldn't listen to you anyway.
Wait, you wouldn't dare tell me how to do it? Really, Margie?
That's true. I would not. There are many ways to accomplish the same task, and I'll leave it up to you since you're in that position.
As long as it's done in an appropriate way in the timeline prescribed, right?
Yes.
Thank you. All right, do we have any other hands up, Andrea?
One moment. No.
All right. So in that case, let's call for the question. All hands are down, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So then at this time, if you wish to object to the adoption of this resolution, raise your hand. Otherwise, leave your hands down. And I'm looking at the time here. I've got 47 seconds, so we'll give it a good 37 seconds or so here. Did I say 37? We'll give it a good 30 seconds or so.
Maybe 30.5 or 31.5.
Maybe. Somewhere in the vicinity of
30. I was thinking 33.26.
Pi. We won the value of pi.
Hey, what about 30.30?
There you go.
And Mr. President, after we get through this, could we ask Lisa for a door prize? I think it's time.
Yes, ma'am. That was the plan.
Woohoo!
All right. It's been over 30 seconds now. So, Andrea, do we have any hands up?
No.
Sure. All right. No. So, this resolution is adopted. Thank you for that. Thank you for those authors. Thank you for that to Margie and Steve and the Resolutions Committee. So, Lisa, are you there for a door prize?
I'm here. Thanks for Sarah's little warning for me to wake up real quick.
That was what I was intending. So, there you go.
So, $25. Given by ACB Capital Chapter.
Oh, keep it in the chapter.
Our chapter of the year.
How about former chapter members?
Andrea? And the winner is Frank Welty.
Hey, Frank.
I know that guy.
I didn't hear the music that time, so.
Well, Frank doesn't care as long as he won.
Yeah. Right.
So our next one is on ADA complaints, ADA assistance resolution, and it is authored by David Mandel.
And so if David raises his hand, Andrea, you know what to do.
This is resolution 2022-4, ADA assistance resolution by David Mandel. Whereas the Americans with Disabilities Act of 1990 was among the first major civil rights laws for people with disabilities in the world, and whereas the ADA marked an important milestone for people with disabilities in the United States and its territories, and whereas the ADA promised civil rights protection in employment, government services, public accommodations, transportation, financial institutions, and communications. And whereas the ADA has proved to be life-changing for millions of Americans with disabilities. And whereas, despite these positive gains, the complexity and ambiguity of ADA regulations often discourages and limits an individual's ability to receive full benefit from that law. And whereas the ADA is often ineffectively administered and enforced by many federal agencies. And whereas thus it is essential that people with disabilities, including people who are blind or have low vision, file federal ADA complaints in order that this law will be appropriately enforced and applied. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind in convention assembled remotely this 15th day of May, 2022, that this organization establish a task force to develop and conduct workshops on the preparing, drafting, and filing of ADA complaints, as well as on the procedures by which these complaints are required to be filed. And be it further resolved that these organizations strongly urge its members who experience discrimination or have accessibility issues to file ADA complaints with the appropriate federal agencies. And be it further resolved that this organization explore funding for an ADA complaints assistance network comprised of skilled advocates throughout the state. And be it further resolved that this organization refer this resolution to the American Council of the Blind, ACB, for consideration and exploration of this issue. And the committee recommends a do pass on this ambitious but important resolution.
Okay. Well, thank you, Jeff. And I think I saw that we have David already. Is that
we
right?
We do.
Andrea?
We do. So, David, right. You should be unmuted.
Okay, my volume is really low.
You're fine. Yep, you're good.
All right,
perfect.
Thank you.
Here you go.
Thank you, Andrea, for preparing me in advance.
No problem.
Okay, I want to say that I really appreciate the committee's work. We worked on a compromise resolution, and I want to thank all of you for that. However, I would like to briefly talk about the progression of this resolution, because I hope that it will be passed and you will support it. I don't think it goes quite far enough. And it started because I've been working with the disability and blindness communities here in the Bay Area, but also nationally on some committees. And I found over the last year or so that like 40, 50 people have said to me at various times, you know, the ADA doesn't adequately serve its purpose. We really need to update it and amend it for the 21st century. And I thought, that's an interesting idea. Could it be done? And so I spoke with a number of people and decided to write a resolution to that effect and got some support from a few members here and some suggestions. Jeff explained to me that he would probably oppose that resolution. And I understand why, because the leadership of the disability and blindness communities feel at this time that that would not be good timing. start asking for to amend and update the law, because the Supreme Court and other right wing groups would love to do more, anything but, you know, short of killing it. And we all know what the Supreme Court has done to it already. And that's very valid, and I respect that. However, I will say that Martin Luther King didn't stop. The African community faced many threats and still continues to do so today, but they won their civil rights. So I feel that the leadership needs to talk to the communities that they represent and listen to the will of the people, both nationally and statewide. But I decided we would take another tack and urge people to file ADA complaints, because we just don't file enough of them. And I suggested exploring the idea of forming ADA complaint assistance networks, both on the statewide and nationally. And again, it was felt that we don't have enough resources, which we probably don't, to do that here, you know, with the CCB. Hello?
Yeah, we hear you, David. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought I heard somebody. So basically, I said, why don't we refer this then to the ACB so that they can suggest, you know, look into the development of an ADA assistance network. And then we came up with the idea, well, we should train people to file complaints, and which I agree. We should, you know, consider the idea of providing workshops, both on a state level and a national level. But I also felt that there would be members who would expect to receive assistance. And I still feel strongly that there will be many of our members who would like assistance, because the process is arduous at this point and fairly difficult and intricate. But I would say that this resolution is important, that we need to file more complaints. And I hope that we can establish a workshop or provide a couple of workshops and train some of our members. And that I hope that you will pass this resolution.
Thank you. Okay, thanks, David. And let's go ahead and leave David unmuted for this discussion. Are there any other hands up, Andrea?
Yes, Bob Acosta, and I believe, Bob, you are unmuted.
Yes, I am. Thank you. And I'm glad. Let me say first, since the loss of our wonderful Ken Metz, at least in Southern California, we have had no advocate. Where do we go if we have ADA complaints and CCB? Where do we go if we have Social Security complaints and ACB? I hear all kinds of answers. Respectfully, I hear them say, they call Nicole. And she'll refer. That's a big job for Nicole. I'm a hysterical blind person. I want the advocate right now. So David, I hope the next one will be other areas of Social Security and stuff. We need workshops. We need training. We need to know how to do it. And we have Zoom. And I think you're very progressive. Maybe we've found our new advocate to replace, if it's possible, Ken Metz. Had you put Supreme Court in it, I would have voted. I will vote no. I do not trust them. I want nothing in their hands at this time, ladies and gentlemen. So I would vote no, even though this is truly what the California Council of the Blind is all about, a very progressive resolution. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob.
Okay, we have Dirk, and I believe you are unmuted. Dirk, please go ahead.
I'm just concerned about the prospect of enriching lawyers with frivolous lawsuits and giving the blind community a bad name. And point one, point two, the Department of Justice has a disability hotline, and if you have a complaint, you can talk to them, and if they find merit in your idea, they will pursue it by themselves. You don't have to hire a lawyer.
Dirk, let me respond to both of those. First, the frivolous lawsuits are being filed right now, including by blind people who are working with these, you know, attorneys who are in the whose goal is to make money.
Like people who are not coming to CCB.
No, they are not CCB lawsuits, but we hear about them, believe me. Right. And we have no, we're no more in favor of that than you are. In terms of the hotline, part of the problem with just giving information via that hotline is a lot of times complaints need documentation to go anywhere. If you file something over a hotline, it's just as likely that they're going to say, well, we can't decide one way or the other, so, you know, if you want to go ahead and do something, you know, go ahead. But, you know, I don't think that just filing something via a hotline is sufficient in many, many instances. Nor do I think that the people who we would hope to use in helping people file these complaints are going to be doing it for frivolous reasons. So I am not worried about that outcome from this resolution as the chair, as the co-chair anyway.
Thanks.
Okay, Deborah Armstrong.
You should be able to hear me now.
Yes, ma'am.
Again.
Okay. I don't know why the button didn't take the first time, but here I am. I think this is such a good idea. I work at a college. I provide accessible materials for students. They often will call me when they go to another school and complain that they're not getting their accessible materials and ask me to produce accessible materials for them. And I always tell them to please document their complaints, but so many people are not trained in the ADA. In the 1970s, the Center for Independent Living got a grant to train people all across the country in Section 504 of the Rehabilitation Act. I was one of those trainers. And what was really interesting is after all those trainings, we saw a lot more OCR complaints filed. And yes, some of them were frivolous lawsuits, but you get that with any sort of law. You're always going to get frivolous lawsuits. You can't make them go away. But the thing is now schools take 504 very seriously because of that training, because so many people filed complaints, legitimate complaints. So absolutely, we need these workshops. Thank you. I'm back on mute.
And thank you, Debbie, saying that it's worked before in the past. That's very helpful to know. Thank you.
Okay, let me ask David. You have your hand up, but I did not mute you. So if you want to speak, please go ahead.
Okay, I just wanted to say that I've called the DOJ hotline, and I also talked to people at the Pacific Technical Center. Every region has a technical center, and DREDA sponsors these, Disability Rights Education Defense Fund. And they have both told me that, yes, we really need to train people and to get more people on board with these complaints and to help people learn to document. And I don't know what the answer is as far as documenting, because that is the biggest problem I think that people face. They just either can't do it, won't do it, or whatever. But as far as the frivolous lawsuits are concerned, there's not much we can do about that. But I would say that most of the complaints that we will find as the result of our workshops will not be frivolous. I'm positive. Thank you very much for considering this resolution. And again, thank you so much to the committee.
Okay, next we have Margie. And Margie, you should be unmuted.
I certainly should be, am I?
Yep.
Thank you. I have a couple things to say here. First of all, I called the ADA hotline on Thursday to confirm that what I thought was correct. The ADA hotline never assists people in filing a complaint. They will send you the form, they will send you the process, etc. So it is up to us as individuals to file complaints. The other thing that is very valuable in filing a complaint is, as already mentioned, but cannot be emphasized enough, is documentation. So it's hard to file a complaint on one minor incident, but it's easy if it's a major incident.
I am current, and during this conference, I specifically asked Andrew from DRC if he would be willing to work with us to put on a transportation workshop, because what's the biggest thing we get complaints about is paratransit. I also want to say, I, along with Becky Davidson at ACB level, we are working on a process right now, individually, and putting it out to guide dog networks, because GDUI has not elected to pick this up. But we are putting together a packet, and we're going to reach out to people and help them document their Uber, their Lyft, and we are going to push for a whole bunch of complaints being pushed in at one time directly to OCR, per my friend Ron. And I have the address directly to OCR. And I just want to add this part. I would be delighted to be a part of anything that moves forward here, including being one to help people, to be a mentor in how to file a complaint. And that's all. Thank you. I will go back on mute, as Debbie says.
All right. Thanks, Margie. And do we have any other hands up, Andrea?
Okay, we've got three hands. One of them is Dirk, and I know he's been called on already, so I'm going to go with Sheila right now. And Sheila, you should be unmuted.
Yes, I am. I was just waiting. Two quick things. One is, I think that, you know, this is an organization of the blind and visually impaired, but a lot of us have other disabilities. I think we should be prepared for that. I don't know exactly what I mean, but I think we can talk in general enough terms that maybe we can deal with other things as well. Actually, there are three. The second thing is, I want to work on, at the DOJ level, at the state OCR level, at the federal OCR level, get these folks to understand it doesn't have to be in print, because that's when I get the print, I just, my brain stops. But I've done a few, and but doing the documentation can be really overwhelming, but it doesn't have to be if you do it as it's moving along. But that is training, and maybe I'm bold enough to be a mentor. I don't know, but I stand behind Margie in everything else she said. I just don't know if I'm brave enough for that. I'm done. Thanks.
Thanks,
thank
Sheila.
You, Sheila, as always.
And I think I heard that Joshua is next.
Okay. Go ahead, Joshua.
Yeah, this is, for some people, it's pretty basic, but what I wanted to suggest is, if you have an issue with Uber or Lyft or paratransit or whatever, whenever it happens, whatever the issue is or whatever happens, on the day that it happens, go to your computer or your laptop and sit down and write the date that it happened and a description of what happened and your experience of it. And if it's an ongoing process, continue to write down what happened, the date, and your experience. And that creates a record that actually can sometimes be used in court to document that your experience is real. And I wanted to just say that that's a basic way that people who are visually impaired can create documentation of their experience and their issues if they need to use them in the future.
Great, great point. Thank you, Joshua.
And to Sheila's, I think it's Sheila's point, you know, really anybody with any disability or ADA violation type stuff. So good point. Thanks, Joshua. Andrea, how many more hands do we have up?
Right now, the only person is, I don't want to say because I keep changing. We have three, and Stephanie is unmuted. And if you want to let her go ahead.
Let's take those three and then
All right. See,
and then probably call the question after that.
Okay. Stephanie, go ahead. You should be unmuted.
Good morning, everyone. And I know you all and you know me. So we've got that out of the way.
good to get it out of the way at the beginning.
Yeah, I know.
Thanks, Stephanie.
You know, I got to keep it a little light on a Sunday morning. But I only wanted to comment that I thank you, David, for putting forth this resolution, and I stand in support and, of course, echo the sentiments of those who've gone before me in support of the resolution. So thank you again, and I'm going to mute.
All right. Thanks, Stephanie.
Okay, we have Dirk, and he's the last one. So, Dirk, you should be able to unmute.
Hi, Dirk Nyhart again. Sorry, but I want to know if CCB will file an amicus brief on a lawsuit filed by one of our members about an ADA event.
So, Dirk, that's really not an appropriate item for discussion at this point in time. This is a resolution. If you want to talk to Gabe or me or whatever about a specific thing, let's do that offline.
Why is it not appropriate?
Because
we are inviting our members to file lawsuits.
Dirk, are you asking about a specific lawsuit, or are you asking if a member got into a position of having an ADA violation, would CCB do it?
If any one of our members follows a resolution,
oh, okay. Sorry.
Right.
So what I would say to that, Dirk, is we would take it on a case-by-case basis, and if one of our members has an ADA issue, violation issue that comes up, then, yeah, I would say CCB would probably support them, but that's something that we would take up as those cases arise. And, you know, hopefully CCB would have been involved in assisting the person up to prior and up to the point of filing the violation. So,
and we've signed on to briefs before, as Cameron can attest. So, you know, we've done it before.
Thanks to Gabe, thanks to David, and thanks to the resolution committee. Good job. Thank you.
Thanks, Dirk. Okay. And is that it for the hands we had up there, Andrea?
I believe so. Hold on just a minute.
Linda.
Yes. Oh, go ahead, Linda.
Do we not have to raise our hands on the panel side?
No. On the panel side.
No, just butt in whenever you want. No, just kidding.
Okay. So here we go. We have created a process for people to object to a resolution on the one hand. On the other hand, we want to avoid dead air while we do a countdown for objecting to a resolution. So what I'd like to urge my friends is to try to restrain a little bit of the silliness and the disrespect during the allotted time for people to object, because some people have trouble raising their hands and what have you. I don't know if we can do the Jeopardy theme or recite the Pledge of Allegiance, but it's a little silly to throw those numbers around and a little disrespectful. Thank you.
Okay. I'm not sure I fully understand that, but okay. So do we have any other hands up, or are we ready
for the question on this? We do not.
Okay, so we will call the question. So raise your hand only if you object to the adoption of this resolution. Otherwise, leave your hands down.
No hands.
Okay. We'll give it 30 seconds or so here.
No hands.
Few more seconds. All right, so it's been 30 seconds plus here, and hearing that there are no hands up, we will declare that resolution adopted.
Okay, we're on number
thank
five.
Thank you, David, for that one. It's a big one, but important, like Jeff said. So Jeff, on to number five.
Yes, number five is by Steve Mendelson. It's the role of the State Attorney General in access advocacy. Resolution 2022-5 by Steve Mendelson, role of the State Attorney General in access advocacy. Whereas, in addition to the in-house counsel that advise and assist state agencies in carrying out their responsibilities, these agencies are represented by the California Attorney General, AG, when civil rights suits or complaints are lodged against them. And whereas, as a result, the AG's office plays a key role in access to electronic information and in all civil rights litigation involving the state. And whereas, with respect to litigation involving the civil rights of many marginalized groups, the AG has taken a proactive approach to the protection of civil rights when advising the state agencies that it represents. And whereas, CCB has been a party to numerous negotiations with state agencies in which the AG has been involved. And whereas, it is CCB's experience that despite its demonstrated commitment to other marginalized and legally protected groups, the AG does not appear to take a proactive stance in advising state agencies concerning their responses to litigation as to their need to follow state and federal laws that protect the rights of people with disabilities, including people who are blind or who have low vision. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind in convention assembled virtually this 15th day of May 2022, that the CCB president initiate direct contact with the Attorney General's office at the highest possible level, pursuant to a letter to which other like-minded organizations shall be urged to become signatories. And be it further resolved that this letter strongly urge the AG, when advising state agencies with respect to their responsibilities to litigation against the state, to take a proactive role in supporting positions that uphold the rights guaranteed under state and federal law to people with disabilities, including people who are blind or have low vision, including accessibility to electronic information. Okay, and the committee recommends a do pass.
Thanks, Jeff. And I think I see Judy's name here, so does that mean Steve unmuted?
Yeah, I just wanted to offer some background. As many of you may know, the pattern that we frequently, I say almost universally encounter, is an attempt by state agencies when complained of or sued with respect to accessibility issues to drag the matter out as long as possible. It's fairly predictable in many of these cases what the outcome will be. It's pretty predictable as a matter of law what the outcome should be. And yet they drag it out for months and years. We've had numerous examples of that recently. The Attorney General is representing the state agencies in all of these cases, and it should be taking a proactive stance, urging them to resolve the case quickly and in a manner which is consistent with state law. It's not as if there's a great dispute about what state law is here, but yet it does not appear to do so. It tends rather to passively accept and support the agency's positions, which is one of delay, almost delay for its own sake.
All right. Thanks, Steve. Before we go to hands, I just want to alert our Madam Door Prize that after we vote for this, I'd like to have us do another door prize. So just so that you're ready, Lisa. Andrea, do we have any other hands up?
Gabe, this is Livy.
Yeah, hi, Livy.
She didn't call me, but Steve, could you give an example of what this is really talking about?
Sure. Right now, for example, we're in negotiations pursuant to the filing of a suit some years ago with the California State Department of Healthcare Services over a very key issue, which is the accessibility of individualized Medi-Cal communications between the state and the Medi-Cal recipients. That's obviously accessibility is a huge issue. There's no dispute in anybody's mind what the law is and what the outcome should be. But the state has dragged this out for years, literally for years. I need only say that it's over 30 years since the ADA was enacted. It hasn't been quite that long this lawsuit has been going on, but it makes jaundice versus jaundice look quaint.
I can give another example, too, both in past litigation, when I was president, and in current litigation under Gabe's leadership. The State Department of Parks and Recreation has done similar things. So there's many examples.
And just last year, we had a resolution about the same issue with respect to the California Arts Council.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks for that, Livia. And I see a couple here, but I think I saw Dirk's phone number before I saw Bob here. So, Dirk, do you have a question?
No, thank you.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure because I saw you on the list here. I think I see Bob Acosta.
Yes, this is written by a good lawyer. So I usually use them when I want some good stuff written. Is this only access, Steve? And let me expand, if I may. As you know, Los Angeles City, if you don't, I'll tell you, LA City College would not provide accommodations for two blind people. And we got the lieutenant governor, for example, of California to sign saying, you know, don't act that way. They were trying to argue unintentional discrimination, and it would have gone to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court might have thrown out the ADA. Fortunately, because of the tremendous support of the CCB and other disability groups, the trustees voted not to go to the Supreme Court. Is that the kind of case, or are we just talking about access, please? Thank you.
No, it's broad. Oh, sorry, Steve. I didn't know you were there.
Go ahead, Jeff, if you want.
Access is very broad. Access to information, okay. Access to communication, access to, you know, in the whole broad spectrum.
So it's access.
Yes. It is access, but that kind of case would definitely fall under access, the way we're defining it. Because
they didn't give him accommodation?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Exactly.
Because the AG doesn't do enough for us. That's it. Thank you. I'm done.
Bob, the only limitation here would be that this is specifically directed at matters in which the AG has a formal role, such as the cases involving complaints or suits against state entities where the AG is representing them. So that would be the only limitation of this resolution. The spirit of the resolution, of course, goes much further. And as Jeff has already said, access here is a very broad concept. We're not concerned only, for example, with electronic information access. We're concerned with any kind of access.
I'm for this all the way. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bob.
We have no hands at the moment. I was muted. My apologies.
Okay, that's okay.
Don't have.
Yeah, anybody. I wasn't hearing you there, so that's why I was trying.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. No,
trying
I
to
was
kind
muted.
Of look at the list of who's getting unmuted. So
yeah, no.
Kind of working together there.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's go ahead. Yeah, okay. And I think we're ready to call the question on this. Andrew, if you can make sure before we do that all hands are down. And so at this point. Only if you object to the adoption of this resolution, raise your hand. Otherwise, leave your hands down and we'll give it a good 30 seconds or so here.
No hands so far.
Okay, so we'll give it a bit here. Another 15 seconds or so.
Still no hands.
Okay. Just want to make sure that we give folks time. Okay. I think we're over 30 seconds. We will declare this resolution adopted. And so before we move on to resolution number 6, Lisa, let's do a door prize if we can, if we may.
Okay.
Because we like giving away money on Sunday mornings.
And we have a lot of money to give away too.
That's right.
$25 Amazon gift card given by, okay, let's spin. And the winner is Shelby Felter. Congratulations, Shelby.
All right.
Congratulations. I do not know Shelby.
I know who she is.
That's three.
I think I know who she is. I believe she's Shelby, in...
I need to know who you are one of these days.
I believe she's in the Long Beach, Greater Long Beach chapter.
Oh, very, very cool.
So, yes, I think I was there on maybe her first meeting, if it's who I'm thinking of. Okay. Thank you, Lisa. And so we'll play the resolution.
Resolution 2022-6, housing accessibility. Whereas housing has become a chronic, long-standing crisis in California, and whereas this condition acutely affects people who are blind or have low vision, as well as seniors and persons with other disabilities, whereas this housing shortage is exacerbated for people who are blind or have low vision by various issues, including, but not limited to, 1. Inaccessibility of platforms, including websites, documents, program procedures, and applications used by local housing authorities and other public housing agencies, as well as by private developers and management companies, to implement Federal Department of Housing and Urban Development HUD-funded programs. 2. Lack of sufficient housing that meets the accessibility needs of people who are blind or have low vision in areas such as lighting, stair striping, accessible operating controls, and talking or labeled appliances and facilities. 3. Rules imposed by homeless shelters that result in the exclusion of many individuals who are blind or have low vision from the receipt of homeless shelter services, and that thus impact the broader ability of these persons to receive wraparound services necessary to end the cycle of homelessness. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind in convention remotely this 15th day of May, 2022, that within 90 days of the adoption of this resolution, the CCB president shall create a housing committee, which shall include members who have personal or professional experience in the affected programs, to coordinate CCB's response to the concerns raised in this resolution. And be it further resolved that this committee shall, within 120 days of its appointment, submit to the CCB Board of Directors for its approval a detailed advocacy plan, including short-term and long-term actions, with the most immediate priority to be given to determining steps to bring about local and state compliance in HUD-funded voucher programs. And be it further resolved that this organization enable the committee to receive training from entities or individuals who have knowledge, expertise, and experience that will enhance the committee's ability to further the goals of this resolution. And be it further resolved that a copy of this resolution shall be submitted to the Resolutions Committee of the American Council of the Blind for consideration during the ACB 2022 conference and convention. The committee recommends a do pass on this very important issue.
Okay.
I hope everybody was taking notes there with the quiz at the end of this. That was a long one. I wrote this, and Frank Welty contributed greatly. David Mandel, Joshua Saunders, and all the folks from the San Francisco Chapter Advocacy Committee. And I have known that housing has been a serious issue for the blind since 1998. And I did a housing hunt for a year and a third, where I filled out 50 applications, and almost all of them were inaccessible. now that COVID-19 has happened, a lot of stuff has gone online, but it's still inaccessible. And I think that that needs to change. And I'm also thinking that on a separate track, I'm working on legal stuff about it. One of those lovely complaints of the ADA we've been mentioning. So that's all I have for now, but I will stick around.
Okay. And Frank is unmuted.
Yep. Thank you. Frank, I just want to add that I want to express my appreciation to Sheila for raising this important issue. It's not a new issue, but it's one that's needed to be addressed. And this resolution represents a very healthy, vigorous dialogue that took place in the Resolutions Committee in order to balance the urgency of this issue along with the short-term and long-term capacity of CCB to resolve it. And I think we've come up with a good solution here that I hope everybody will support. I think that many of our members, especially those who are most vulnerable, particularly need the work that will come about because of this resolution.
And I want to thank the Resolutions Committee because we worked like dogs on this. We did.
Okay. And
all right.
And we have Dirk. I think Dirk is unmuted.
I share that thought, like to thank the Resolution Committee for all this hard work. I have just one little piece of wordsmithing. It says that committee should be people who have experience or experience being homeless or experience helping the homeless. I would like the committee to include any CCB member.
If I understand your question right, will that include any CCB members? It better. It's a CCB committee.
It just says it will include people with personal or professional experience in the affected programs, but that doesn't mean that it has to be someone who has that experience.
It does not say that any member is.
Yes, it does. Dirk, I don't mean to dispute you, but what it says is that the committee shall include, didn't say that it had to be limited to, but it has to include people with personal or professional experience. But all CCB members are eligible for committees. That's the way it's always been.
That's in our CCB bylaws that it's going to be CCB members, and that we do have the ability if needed to go outside of CCB, and we can include non-CCB members if they have the expertise that would add to the committee. But it will, I would say, would definitely include CCB members on the committee.
So what I pictured when we said personal or professional experience with these housing programs is, and this is not limited to, but if you've lived in a HUD voucher program like Section 8 or one of the project-based voucher programs, or if you have worked a lot with folks, blind and otherwise, who are trying to get through this ridiculous housing process, and you have enough experience to say, this worked, this didn't, we need this, we don't need that. That's who we want in the committee. And if you have some stuff you want to add, you would apply whenever that application comes out to be in the committee. And I would want you there. I've known you for ages, and I hope you come if you think you want to be there.
Okay. Do we have any other?
Yes, we have Margie.
Any other folks?
And Margie, right. You're unmuted.
Go ahead, Margie.
Let's try Anthony, Shall we try Anthony?
Sure, let's try Anthony.
Okay, Anthony.
Go ahead, Anthony. I think this is an excellent suggestion or resolution. And I'd be more than willing to serve on any kind of committee about housing. And I also want to say that you guys are doing a great job for a very, very difficult kind of thing to do. Thanks.
Okay, Margie.
Thanks, Anthony. And you know, some of this passes, send me an email so that we can have that on there and get your name added to the folks that want to be on the committee.
So, will do.
Thanks.
Okay, I guess that Margie would go for two.
Showing us unmuted.
Margie, unless you think this is going to impact the passage of this resolution, I think we ought to go ahead and vote. I think there's overwhelming support for this, I think.
That's what I'm thinking.
I agree.
Yeah, and if it's comments maybe about the implementation of it, which is what a lot of these have been, yeah, definitely reach out to me, Jeff, Sarah, after the convention, and we'll take your thoughts on. So, Andrea, are there any new hands up?
No hands.
Okay.
If you still have an email address, you should email Gabe too if you want to be on that committee.
Right. So, okay. So, with no other hands up, we will go to voting. So, at this time, only raise your hand if you are opposed to the adoption of this resolution. Otherwise, leave your hands down. We'll give it another good 30 seconds here. Okay.
Nobody.
Okay. Another 15-ish seconds.
I agree with Anthony, though. If I'm not right near my phone when you make that call to object, if I want to object, I don't have time. Mm-hmm. And sometimes
Sheila. Hold on, Sheila.
No hands.
Yeah. Sorry, we're trying to keep the chatter down during the calling for voting so people can hear their phones. All right. We've had about 40 seconds here, so we will declare this resolution adopted.
And I thank you. And as I said, sometimes if different people are speaking or screen share turns off or whatever, we refresh the screen, we have to find the button again and all that. So right. Yeah, I appreciate the longer time. All right, folks, thanks very much. I appreciate it.
All right, Sheila.
Good one.
Thanks, Sheila. So,
Dave, we have a hand raised. I don't know if it's about voting. It just went up.
Okay. Well, yes, since it went up after the voting, who's the hand?
Last three numbers, 505.
There's Margie.
Okay. Go ahead, Margie.
You should. Thank you. I don't know what's going on in my computer, so I'm going Margie, to the phone.
Margie, by
can
phone.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, by phone. I'm done with the computer. It wasn't germane to the vote, but it's germane to a previous conversation we had. And housing issues do not fall under ADA. Housing issues fall under HUD or Department of Fair Employment and Housing. I always encourage people to go to HUD. DFEH is a little bit shady, in my opinion, when it comes to issues outside of employment. But I just want to, Sheila, if you're going to take action, you need to file your complaint with HUD, please. Thank you. That's all. Bye.
Yeah, Margie, that is not completely correct. There can be, because they're not all HUD programs, and there can be instances where an ADA issue can come up that are like fair housing issues are under the Fair Housing Act, and that would, you know, and then so there, all these laws do have some areas of concern. In different areas of the housing sphere.
Yeah, you just have to, you know, pinpoint where it fits, and it may fit in more than one, you know, to be honest. And I'm learning more of that as we're doing training with that at work. But yeah, thank you, Jess.
Okay. I have seen HUD complaints filed on non-HUD housing. There was a huge guide dog discrimination case in Daly City years ago, and it wasn't HUD housing. So
that's correct. I'm not disagreeing with you on that.
So it's not restricted to HUD housing, HUD complaints is all I'm saying. Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks, Margie.
We have one more hand that went up after the vote. Kathy Schmidt-Whitaker, you may speak.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, we can hear you, Kathy.
Great. I want, I appreciate Linda's comment previously in regards to asking for the silence during the time that people could object. I think that's very respectful for those that may be wanting to object. And I'd also like to ask that going forward to continue that practice, in addition to not commenting on if anybody's raised their hand or not until the time is up, so that those that you're objecting have the time to quietly implement it themselves, and there is no feeling of pressure or influence in regards to raising their hand. Thank you.
Yeah, I agree with that comment, actually, Kathy, because I think we really don't want any things said until the whole vote is taken. I would agree.
All right. Thank you. Any other hands up there, Andrea, before we move on?
One moment. I was following what Penny had done the other night, so I will remember that. Thank you, Kathy. No hands raised.
Okay. Lisa, before we move on, how many more door prizes do we have for today?
We have two more and one, big one really big surprise.
All right. So let's do one now, and then we'll do another one here in a little bit.
Okay. So this one is a $25 Amazon gift card given by CCB.
I know them.
And the winner is Laura Lee Kasner. Congratulations.
Hey, I know her.
Hey.
All right. Really good from her last night. All right, Jeff, you are on for a live reading of a resolution. Wow, kind of a throwback to old days.
So I have number 8 first, and then we'll do number 7. So, resolved by the California Council of the Blind and Convention Assembled this 15th day of May, or Convention Assembled remotely this 15th day of May, 2022, that this organization thanks the CCB Convention Committee and those who assisted it for their work in making this convention a resounding success. And the committee, the Resolutions Committee, recommends a pass.
the resolution committee embodied by Jeff.
Pretty good.
All right. Do we have any comments on that, our resolution? Do we have any hands up, Andrea?
We do not.
Okay. Hearing no hands, then let's just move to a vote. I agree with that resolution. The Convention Planning Committee did put in a lot of long hours on this. So we definitely thank them. All right. So at this time, if you wish to object to this resolution, raise your hand. Otherwise, leave your hands down. And I'll give it 30 seconds or so. Another 15 seconds-ish. All right, that's been a good 30 seconds there, so we will declare that resolution adopted. Thank you.
So the old expression, that was supported hands down, really does apply.
Oh, no. Oh, but, you have the ability to kick him off of the panelists.
You know, Rob, that is one of those that if I was over a panel, I would have been charged $1 for that.
Wow. Guillermo has the power.
Oh, good.
Yeah, there absolutely he does. And I think it should be a resolution.
Okay, this is our final one. And if anybody objects to this, well, I don't know what to say.
I'll throw anybody off that objects.
There you go.
Right.
This
not
is
if
20...
I don't beat you to it.
Yeah, that's right. 2022-7, volunteers. Resolved by the California Council of the Blind, a convention assembled remotely this 15th day of May, 2022, that this organization extends its heartfelt appreciation to all the volunteers who helped make this convention a resounding success, and be it further resolved that, to the extent possible, each and every volunteer be provided with a copy of this resolution. And of course, we're talking not about all the CCB members who did such a fantastic job, but about our the folks from outside the organization who helped us with this convention, like the women from Sac State the other day, as an example.
All right. Even though
the committee recommends a do pass, even though they didn't ultimately,
even though we didn't do voting, they did a lot of preparation to get ready for the process, and we're standing by if needed.
And they were all really right. Ready this year. Really ready.
They were. We had a good team there ready. All right. Andrea, do we have any hands up?
We do not.
Wanting to comment? All right. So at this time, if you wish to object to this resolution, raise your hand. Otherwise, leave your hands down for the next 30 seconds or so. We'll give time. Another 10 or 15 seconds here. All right. So, unless we have any hands that have popped up there, Andrea, I will declare that resolution adopted.
We do not. Go ahead.
Okay. So thank you, everybody. That's the end of our resolutions, correct, Jeff?
So except that we need, and Sarah, maybe you can ask for this motion, we need a motion to accept the resolutions committee report.
So move.
Second.
All right. We got a motion from Guillermo. We got a second from Rob. So if anyone out there in the universe objects, go ahead and raise your hand. And Andrea, do we have any raised hands?
We do not.
All right, then we will take that as the resolutions committee that our report has been accepted and our work is done for 2022. So woohoo!
Hey.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody.
Okay, Gabe, I'm sorry. Dirk just put his hand up.
Okay.
Hold on.
Go ahead. Dirk.
Okay, Dirk, go ahead. You're unmuted.
Thank you. Couldn't get my 2 cents in. I have 2 thank you resolutions that I could not present to the resolution committee, so bad Dirk, but I think they are timely always to say thank you, and I want to have a resolution every year to say thank you to some O&M teacher, doctor, lawyer who has helped a blind person. We should have, I think that should be a standing practice. That's one. And my second resolution would be say thank you to the blind union for the blind musician in Singapore, who got blind musicians all over the world to present the 10-hour concert for the World Blind Union, and send that resolution off to the World Blind Union.
Well, the first one, that might be one for the awards committee could take up next year if there's any.
Well, next year.
Yeah, that it could do for that.
It would be writing on papyrus. This happened 3 months ago. And, well, Ukraine still be a hot issue in our hearts and minds.
Well, the board can look at these things too, Gabe. Yeah. So,
yeah. Okay. Yeah, so these are things that we can look at going forward. Thanks, Dirk. Okay, so next up we have we usually have any other committee reports, time permitting, but it is after 12 o'clock. So unless there's any urgent reports, I would propose that that what we'd do is, if there's any committees that want to make any kind of reports, that you come talk to me and we can have those maybe at board meetings going forward. And I think that's something that would be a good practice moving forward, is maybe every month or every couple of months we can have a committee report made at the board meetings to hear what various committees are doing. Is there any objection from anyone to that proposal? All right. Well, hearing none, and then Miss Andrea interrupts and tells me that there's any hands going up, then we'll work on doing that going forward. No. So next item is there any old business to come before the convention?
Okay, Sheila has her hand raised. One moment. Okay, Sheila, you should be.
Sorry, this wasn't old business, but I wanted to get in before the thing ended. What I wanted to ask Gabe is, when will the resolutions that we have forwarded to ACB be heard, since the resolutions committee there has already started? Could we get some
noise? I don't have an idea on that yet, Sheila. I need to get the final copy of these resolutions and slot them in. It will probably, at this point, I would have to guess, maybe be sometime next month.
Okay. I just don't want to miss
it. It's not going to be, I can guarantee you it's not going to be this week. It'll be, very least next week, or probably more likely, like I said, sometime in June. But I will definitely make sure that you get notice once we have an idea of when that's going to be heard.
Great. And I think I'm not the only one that's going to want that. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. So. Next we have Margie. And Margie, you are unmuted.
I am unmuted. Thank God for a telephone. I'm not sure if this is new or old, so I'm just going to do it anyway. And in our emails, et cetera, we were given the link to join Zoom, and then it said one tap. But there was no one tap. So I would hope in the future, whoever is sending out this information, when they do a one tap, that they know how to do a one tap, so that we can really, it's actually called a two tap in my opinion, but that would have made it a whole lot easier for those of us using a mobile phone. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Martin. Yeah. So I guess since we're mixing old and new business here, is there any other business to be brought before the convention?
In the spirit of what Margie just brought forward, Gabe, if I may, if you have any similar type comments that are directly related to convention, if you would email those to convention.ccb@gmail.com, or you can call me. My phone number's on the website, or I'm sure you can get it from lots of folks. That would be perfect. That way we can start keeping track of all of those things. And Margie, I've written that down. Thank you, Gabe.
All right. Thanks, sir.
Okay. We have a phone number who is unmuted. Last three digits, 610.
I know my own number. Duh.
Yes, but we don't. Hello, Pam.
Yes, you do. You better. It's only three of us to use 818.
Good afternoon, everybody. I just wanted to say thank you for a good convention. It was busy. It was long, and I listened to all the resolutions. They were great. Since I serve on the convention committee for the first time this year, it's a lot of work. I had a great time, and we'll continue doing it. So thank you. That's all I wanted to say. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you, Pam. Okay. Anyone else to bring any business before the convention?
Pamology has her hand raised. One moment.
Okay.
Okay, Pam, you should be able to unmute. There you go.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to clarify. Sorry, I'm having a really hard time with my lungs. But I just want to clarify for people that don't know that when Andrea or whatever host list the area code and last 3 digits of the number, it's not because you don't know your number. It's so that you can be identified as the one that's going to speak next. So be kind. Thank you.
Thank you, Margie. Thanks, Pam. Excuse me, Pam. Thank you, Pam. Thank you so much.
Any other business?
No.
Do we have any hands? Okay. No. So this time then, before we conclude all of our activities here, festivities, that's what I was looking for. Before we conclude today's festivities, Lisa, I believe we have one more door prize. Is that right?
We have two more. Three, actually three more.
Well, two more and then a big surprise, right?
Correct.
Is that right? Okay. So let's do the couple of door prizes.
Okay, so first one we're doing, $25 Amazon gift card given by Bayview Chapter. And the winner is Joshua Sanders.
I know him.
All right, congratulations, Joshua.
And then the last one is $25 Amazon card given by ACB Capital Chapter. And the winner is John Gassman. Congratulations, John.
Oh, that guy. I think I know him.
Thank you.
We
And he's here. Yay, John.
And thank you, John, for being our streamer today.
Glad to do it.
All right. I think you did our Sunday session last year, too. And is that the end of our regular door prizes, Lisa?
That is the end of our regular door prizes. All and right. I'm shuffling the wheel really good right now for this last
one. And do you want to tell what this last one is? And this one actually has a name too, huh?
I don't know if it really has an official name, but
well, it's the golden.
We're calling it the golden door.
Okay, so the golden door prize is $150 gift card of your choice. So wow. Nicole or I will reach out to this winner to find out where you would like the gift card issued from, and then provide it to you in whichever way you'd like. So $150 is on the line right now. Mm. Are we ready?
We're ready.
Hey.
Okay. I think I've shuffled it about 20 times. Okay. So let's go. And the winner of $150 is Mike Keithley.
Congratulations. Hey,
all right. Oh, that guy.
We all know that guy.
We do. We do. We do. We do. Indeed.
I'll tell you, there were an inordinate number of Silicon Valley chapter winners this weekend. One might begin to wonder.
Uh-oh,
it's
fixed.
One
might.
And
then just
rigged.
What that shows is that there was a large number of Silicon Valley chapter members that registered, which is fabulous.
If it was, I can guarantee you most of Fresno would be on the list of winners.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Go ahead. Sarah, were you going to say something?
Yeah, I was just going to remind folks that both the, there's two more things. We still have some post-convention on Tuesday at 7:30, so that's the 17th. We have the playing of the Country of the Blind, as we gave a teaser for on Friday. And so if you're interested in that, again, you can email. If you're not, you know, part of any of our list and you want that link, convention.ccb@gmail.com. And then also on Wednesday night, we do have our scholarship committee. If you're interested in learning more about CCB scholarships and what other winners have done with them, as well as more about what the committee does, please join in on that. And that's going to be on the 18th. I just wanted to put the plug in that we're not completely done. We still got post-convention.
All right. But as for our main convention event, I think that's a wrap at 12:17.
All right.
So, all right, everybody. Thanks for attending. And
thanks, guys. Thanks
for having me today. Have a good rest of your Sunday. We'll hopefully see folks again on Tuesday and Wednesday evenings for post-convention fun.
Yeah.